Let us pray. Father, on this glorious Christmas Eve, we come to give you our worship. We come to give you all the glory that is due your name. I pray right now as we open up your word that you would do a profound work in our hearts. This is a story that many of us have heard year after year after year. But Father, I pray through the power of your Spirit among us right now that you would bring fresh ears. Help us hear this story afresh, that by your grace we truly would be transformed. We ask that you would do a profound work among us this morning. And so I pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want you to finish this verse for me, or at least part of the verse. You'll know it. It's a well-known Christmas hymn, but I wanted to see if you can finish this, okay? Joy to the world. Keep going. You got it. Do you know what you just said? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And he goes on, and the second verse begins, joy to the world. Yeah, you know, that is good, but pretty close. Yes, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. I hope you're seeing, friends, this theme, the King has come. And so joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. And in verse 4 we read, he rules the world with truth and grace. One of the things in this narrative we're going to look at this morning, or the main thing, frankly, in Luke's gospel that Ryan just read a moment ago, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, and he tells her that she's going to have a child. And I can only imagine she's just shocked, stunned, just thinking, what's going on? What are you saying to me? And he says something very profound to her. Verses 32 and 33, he says, for he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Friends, I want you to see this morning, the King has come. Now, what did Gabriel say about his kingdom? Did you hear that at the very end? What did he say? His kingdom, there would be what? No end. Friends, this is incredible that the King has come, and of his reign there will be no end. This means for you and me that we will live forever under his rule. What I hope you see this morning or hear this morning as we unpack this is how good that the good news that that is for us. So there's three things I want us to look at in this reality that the King has come and his reign will last forever. And here's what he brings to us. He brings to us his presence, his peace, and his power. So what I hope you hear this morning is the glorious news that the King has come. And because he's come, he's brought his presence. He's brought us his peace and he has brought us his power. Let's first look at the first one. He's brought us his presence. Now, I want you to think, again, that's why for so many of us, this story, this Christmas story, is often too well known, right? That we miss things about it. But I don't want you to miss this profound truth that God came among us. Now, I want you to sit in that for a minute. God came among us. John, in his gospel, said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, literally made his dwelling among us. Now, what he's saying there is the Word became flesh. You've got to go all the way back to the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1, when God breathed creation into being. The one who breathed creation into being has now come on this earth to live with his people. Friends, that's amazing that God would come among us. There's three things, very briefly, I want us to look at in this first point of the presence of God coming among us. And the first one is this. God coming among us shows us how deep and pervasive our sin really is. I want you to think about that. The fact that God literally came among us, friends, shows us how desperate our condition really is. So it's not like this. It's not like you have a common cold, right? Which I know some of you do because I've already talked to you this morning. And you have got a common cold, right? And you take emergency. We live on that at my house. And so you take a few packs of emergency throughout the day, and you think you're going to get better, right? That's not our situation. Our situation is far worse. It's like we have a cancer that has infected every part of our bodies. It's gone through our entire system. And unless we get the proper treatment, we're going to die. Like, that's a picture of how desperate our situation is. That's a picture of how desperate our condition is, how deep and pervasive our sin is. But that illustration doesn't even do justice to the reality of how broken we really are. The Apostle Paul shows us and gives us greater clarity in Ephesians chapter 2. In the first few verses, he writes this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins of your life." You were dead in the trespasses and sins. Then he went on and he said, "And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Friends, what you and I have to understand is this reality, that we are spiritually dead people because of sin. And the fact that God came among us shows us something very important. It shows us that there's nothing that you and I could do to make our situation any different. Do you see that? A person who's dead and buried in the ground can't do anything to get out of the ground, can they? That's the same reality for you and me. We are dead in our sins, and we can do nothing to get out of that. But you see, our only hope is that someone would come and rescue us. That's what we need to begin to see this Christmas, right? How desperate our condition is, that God literally came among us. But secondly, here's what we find. God came because of his love for us. He knew our condition. He knew that you and I could do nothing to do anything about our sin. And God came among us. I want you to allow this truth, friends, to grab hold of your heart this morning. Just stop and be still. I don't know if you came in here kind of tired, or maybe you still have a few more things to do before Christmas tomorrow. Stores, I think, will still be open. But the danger of the commercialism of Christmas today is that we get so wrapped up in all of the shopping, all of the lights, the trees, the wonderful food, and as good as those things can be, they can distract us from what Christmas is really about. Did you know that? I want you to hear that Christ loves us so much that he came among us. He brought his presence here for you and for me. He came, friends, and he took on flesh. God took on flesh. It's so easy to miss, isn't it? But I don't want you to miss it this year. That God's love is so huge that he took on flesh, that he himself took on the form of a humble servant. And while he lived the 33 years on this earth, he had no place to call his home. In fact, he was born in a cave. When Kimberly and I were in Israel this fall, we got to see what that really looked like, and it really hit home to us. To be able to see the rocky fields where the shepherds were, and to see the caves carved out of the mountainside, and that's where so many people lived. And we got to see a place like where Jesus would have really been born, where the animals would have come in at night. That's where the manger was. Now, I want you to step back and see how profound this is, that the God of all creation, the God of all glory, came into this world in that humble estate. Friends, don't miss the glory of the Christmas story. One would have thought he would have been born in a mansion, right? And all the comforts, right, that one could have. No. Our God came in humility, in love, because he loves you and he loves me. Friends, don't miss the Christmas story this year. You see, God came to live among a people who would despise him, who would reject him, who would betray him, and who would crucify him. God came among us and he endured temptation and suffering so that he himself would be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Don't miss what I just said. So that he himself would be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Friends, that's what this story is all about. God's presence coming among us. We recognize our desperate situation, and we come and see the incredible love that the Father would send his Son to come and be the perfect sacrifice for us. I've already said it a number of times. Don't let Christmas pass you by. It's really tempting, isn't it? I was sitting in our sunroom the other day, and I was looking out where our Christmas tree was in our living room and looking past it and thinking what this next week is going to be like for my family, as we have so many things, we're going in different directions. And I started to think, okay, what day are we going to take that tree down? And when are we going to get the house all back in order? And thinking about all of that, and Christmas hadn't even come yet. And then I stopped and I thought for a second, wait a minute. We can all be so quick. The presents are unwrapped. They're put up. We put the tree up. We put the lights up. We close the book and we're ready for a new year. And I think for so many of us, we close that book and the story of Christmas goes out of sight, out of mind for another year. Friends, don't let that happen this year. The King has come. The King has come and made his presence among us. He came to bring his radical love. And the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "And of his kingdom there will be no end." And do you know what that means for you and me? Of his love there will be no end. That's the beauty of his presence coming among us. And I think that's why the Apostle Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 3 in this beautiful prayer. He wrote these words, that we, those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Friends, don't miss the incredible radical love of our God who brought his Son. How high and wide and deep is his love for us, that he would come and die for your sins and for mine. And the third thing that we see about God's presence is this: his presence comes and is with us literally forever. Now you may wonder how, right? Because we know the rest of the story. That baby didn't stay in a manger, did he? He went to a cross and he died. And he rose and he ascended into heaven. And some of you may be thinking, so how is God's presence still with us today? Well, before Jesus went to the cross, he was talking with his disciples and he said these words. This is in John chapter 14. He said, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now, you're getting a picture here. God brought his presence because he knew how desperate our condition was. He brought his presence to show his love, but he brought his presence to stay with us forever. He has given us this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit, who is with us forever. What we find is his presence. And from his presence, friends, we have two things. We have his peace and his power. I want you to think about the peace. You see, we live in a world today that craves peace, don't we? You can't help but turn on the news and have your peace instantly interrupted, right? Or read the newspaper and have your peace instantly interrupted. What we see is gloom and doom seem to be everywhere. Terrorist attacks continue to happen. Nuclear threats, corruption in Washington, racial tensions, sexual assault and harassment, and the list goes on and on and on. Our peace is rocked daily, isn't it? But you see, our peace is not just rocked by the news that we see out there. Our peace is often rocked by the things that actually happen in our own lives. The death of a loved one, an illness that comes into your home, when our financial security becomes uncertain, our world becomes rocked, our peace becomes rocked. When you're not sure if you're going to have the job that you have in the next 2 months, your peace is rocked, isn't it? Or when your children aren't turning out the way you had hoped, your peace is rocked as a family. You see, friends, the reality is our peace is shaken every day. Think about this picture. I don't know if any of you all have ever been in an earthquake before. I've been in a couple, and they're pretty terrifying. The first one I was in prep school in New Hampshire, and my dorm was this beautiful old home, and it was in the evening, and I was up studying, and all of a sudden, it started shaking frantically, and I didn't know what was going on because I didn't think earthquakes happened in New Hampshire. But the whole building, the whole home did, and I looked out the window, and you could see things swaying, and all of a sudden, I just ran outside to try to find some place of stability, right? Some of you live in an earthquake zone every day where your peace is shaken, right? And the temptation is to run anywhere we can to find level ground, to find some type of stability. But I want you to hear this, friends. Our peace, our stability is not found in an elected official. It's not found in the gifts that you're going to open under the tree tomorrow. It's not found in how well the stock market's doing. It's not found in how well your family is functioning. You see, our tendency, isn't it, is to go and find stability and peace in those things. But God never designed those things to be our peace. That's why he came as the Prince of Peace, to be the only peace that would be the sure foundation, the unshakable ground that you and I can stand on every day of our lives. Do you know why he's called the Prince of Peace? Do you know why? Friends, because he traded that manger for a cross. He traded the manger for a cross to pay the price for your sins and mine. And let me tell you what that did. You and I were separated from the presence and intimacy with our God, our Heavenly Father. And what Jesus did on the cross is he made possible for us to be able to be reunited. That hostility between us and God because of our sin would be washed away forever. That's the peace, friends, that you and I can live in every day of our lives. Friends, listen, it's the peace knowing that God is not angry with you. Some of you think he is. I can tell you, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not angry with you. Could you imagine what it would do for many of us who wrestle with anxiety if we realize more and more how high and wide and deep is the love of our God for us? That we don't have anything to prove, that we don't have to try to earn it, that we don't have to try to work so hard to be loved and accepted, because he paid it all on the cross. Think of the peace that would begin to flood our hearts. Friends, that's what Jesus came to bring for us. And friends, that's why our song at Christmas, and I believe our song ought to be all year long, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." Friends, have you received him? Do you know this King of glory? Friends, if you don't, please don't leave here today without coming and saying, "I give up, I give in. I need something greater than the peace that I've been looking for out there." If what you're saying, Robert, is true, I long for this peace. And friends, he will come and flood your life, fill you with his Holy Spirit, and you will experience a love like you have never experienced. So my prayer is that you would come and receive this King who is the Prince of Peace. But what we also find as we close is this. We don't just experience his presence and his peace, friends. We experience his power. One of the things that we receive from God's kingdom coming into our lives is the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit alive in us. And that's what Jesus experienced as he lived on this earth. We read in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, these words, "And the power of the Lord was on him to heal." The Spirit of the Lord was with Jesus. What I want you to see is that same Spirit who was with Jesus is the same Spirit that you and I are given today. What an incredible gift. Do you recognize that? We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, these incredible words, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I want you to see this power that we're given is not just for evangelism. It's a power that God longs that you and I live out of every day of our lives. Friends, do you know that power? Do you know what it's like to live out of the power of the Holy Spirit alive in you? I think something sad in the church today is a lot of us might shake our heads and go, "I know it's there, but I'm not really experiencing it like you're saying." And I think one of the reasons why is that we long to be self-sufficient people, right? We are people who want to do it all on our own, right? Friends, if we're going to experience more of the fullness of the Spirit's power in us every day we live and for every situation that we face, one of the things that you and I have to come to terms with is our full dependence on the Lord. We've got to stop depending on ourselves, right? We've got to stop thinking that we can do it on our own. And we've got to yield to the power of the Spirit in us. For those of you who have struggled with substance abuse ever, you'll know where I'm going with this. If you've ever read AA's manual, the book, the very first step is not just admitting you have a problem, is it? But it's admitting that you're powerless. I think that's something that we in the church need to grab hold of. It's what I began with, isn't it? It's the first thing that you and I have to understand if we're going to receive the reality of this Christmas story in our lives. We have to first say, "I've got a problem. I'm a sinner. I cannot do anything about my situation," right? And then we've got to understand that we are powerless. We're powerless. And we don't like that in America, do we? Because we like to show how strong we are. We like to show how we've got it all together. We, heaven forbid, we show weakness, right? What a lie we have bought into from the enemy. Friends, if this Christmas story is going to become real for you and real for me, we have got to understand our powerlessness. The Apostle Paul had no problem saying it. Listen, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 through 10. This is St. Paul speaking. He said, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content in weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Now, that was a man who got it. And because he got it, he lived every day out of the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, that's what the Lord longs for us in the church today. Paul knew that the only way to appropriate this gift that we've been given is to come and yield and say, "I am weak. I am needy. I am desperate. And I want to be dependent upon you." How foreign that is in our culture today. But if you want to experience, friends, the fullness of this story, come to that place and you will experience a power in you like you have never experienced before. And so as we close, every temptation that you and I face, every obstacle that is before us, every fear, friends, I want you to know that by God's grace, we are empowered by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And if that spirit is in us, surely God in his grace will allow us to tackle any situation before us. So as you celebrate Christmas tomorrow, may your song be joy to the world. The Lord has come. The King of kings, the Lord of lords has come and made his presence among us. He has come to bring you peace. And he has come to bring you his power, that as you and I live, he may be exalted and glorified. Father, we love you. We thank you for this incredible celebration. But Father, let us not close the book tomorrow, but may it stay open, that we would live out of the fullness of this joy that you have brought to us. The King of kings, the Lord of lords has come. We bless you and we praise you. Amen.